Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Blessed and highly favored. Praise God. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Would you grab your swords, please, and turn to Psalm 103? If you don't have a Bible, we have some. I believe. Glory. There's probably a lot of people in church globally today. Might be the first time of the year. Second one will be Christmas. But at least they made it. Hopefully God will convict them, turn their hearts around so that they get plugged in and stay plugged in. Amen. That they don't become drifters, but followers. In Psalm 103 in verse 1, would you read it with me, please? Praise God. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his what? Benefits. Benefits. God's got benefits. Hallelujah. He's got a retirement plan. He has life insurance. I mean, look at what he says. He says, who forgives all your stupidities, I mean iniquities. He forgives all of our foolishness and dumb, you know. Who heals all your diseases, your sicknesses, your pains, your sorrows. He heals them all. But see, there's something that starts off with that says, bless the Lord, all my soul and all that is within me. How do you bless him? Worship. See, because this is what brings his presence. It's in his presence where all of his benefits are. You know, I had a vision today while we were worshiping. And I saw this. Don't get weird on me, okay, buddy? I saw this. It was like a big sphere, but it was, you could see through it, but it was like wavering. And the Lord used it as an example of his presence. And he said, many people say they believe in me, and my presence is right there. And some of them will never step into my presence until they die. They say they believe in me, they'll follow me, they'll do anything, but they never come into my presence. And my presence is right here, right next to all men. His presence. Next to everyone. His presence is nothing but a breath away. And I kept seeing. And he says, yeah, they'll stick their hand out and want to hold my hand, but the only presence they touch is when they want something. Because see, the Bible says, in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand his pleasure is forevermore. See, there's a time when we do things that we have to do, and then when we get beyond the things that we have to do, we do things because we want to. There should be a time in our life where we should want to get on into God's presence, not because we have to. See, if you're still in the place of have to, that's not relationship. And this is where the enemy plays us, because he thinks that he wants you to think that you're okay. I'm okay. I believe in God. I don't sin, but we sin with our thoughts, our words, and everything else. Amen. But there's a difference of his presence. There is a presence that you can walk into where you are healed. You can walk into where you're free from torment, from fear, from anxiety, from stress. There is a presence available to every single human being on this planet. That's why he says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. Everything is in his presence. Yes, there's his presence. All the universe is in his presence. But there is three levels of his presence, and I'm not going to get into that today. But I'm going to talk about his presence where there is resurrection life. There's his presence where there's blessing and prosperity. There's his presence where everything is brand new. There's a presence where you are fulfilled. There isn't anything you need to do for fulfillment. There isn't anything you need to accomplish to bring fulfillment. It's in his presence. And he said, these are my benefits of my presence. What's he say? I'll forgive you. I'll heal you. Verse 4, who redeems your life from what? Destruction. He'll protect you. He'll pull you. In fact, you won't even step into it. You may get ready to go into a trap, but the Bible says his angels bear you up. They rescue you before anything happens. He says he'll crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies. See, because in his presence, there's so much kindness and tender mercies that you'll begin to express his character, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Man, you only want to speak good things. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So that you walk in youth. Youth. Refresh. In his presence. Why? Because his presence is life. His presence is what? Life. Life. See, we may be existing, but not walking in life. And I don't want to be just something that just exists. Animals exist. Trees, creation exist. Humans exist, but then there's a place of his presence where it's no longer just existence, it is life. And when you and I have a choice to walk in existence or in life. See, only life could create life. That's why he's the life giver. You can't hold life. You can't kill life. That's why the grave couldn't hold him. It can't kill life. If he's the creator of life, how can you kill life? What's he doing? He's offering life to every human being on this planet. And John 14, would you go with me, please? And where is life? In his presence. See, the difference with some individuals is his life is not their life yet. It's really not, again, I believe in Jesus. I do all my religious attributes. But there's a place where we don't know any other life. Because the life that we're living now is so eternal that nothing else matters. We are now living the life of life. Because we're living in that life. We're not living the life of existence. We're living the life of eternal life. It's totally different. It's another realm. See, Jesus is life. He is the creator of life. He came to bring life. When he showed up, everything changed. The ripple effect of his presence changed everything. Anyone willing to step into his presence was changed. I'm a walking witness of that. I wasn't born this way. But you know what happened? I got sick and tired of being evil when there was something in me wanting to be right. Because that's where I came from. But I didn't know how to get right. I had to find the place to get right. And the only place that was in the presence of the one who made me. I had to be restored to the creator of life, to walk in life. And now I love life, not this life. Life, his life, real life. See, everything here isn't real life, man. It's artificial. It's all artificial. It's called temporary. People walking around trying to fulfill life. You don't have to walk around and fulfill. Just step into life and you're fulfilled. There's a difference. And this is what Jesus kept trying to explain. Come on, give up your life. What do you mean? You're just an existence. You're just existing. Why not live life in life? See, people try to live existence in fulfilling their life by the things and pleasures of the world. But it's really not life. Because there's only one true life. In John 14, verse 6, what does Jesus say? He said to them, I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. In other words, Jesus said, I am the way to life. I am the way of life, because that's truth, and I am life. So if you're willing to come to me and walk in my presence, because this is where life is, what will sustain you there is my truth. Amen? He says, I am the way to life. I am the truth of the way of life. And I am the life. So the eternal life came into this realm. So God is life. God is not dead. Amen. Hello. God is not dead. He is life. Matthew 27. Matthew 27 and verse something. Let's see. Matthew 27 and verse 44. Jesus was on the cross. Life was on the cross. See, they actually thought they could kill life. But it wasn't about the flesh. Does everybody get it? You can't kill the creator of life. That's all he did, was he put on a body so it could absorb all the sins. But you couldn't kill life. In verse what now? 44. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come and save him. Life doesn't need anyone else to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks split, and the graves were opened. Why? Because when he left the cross and went into the depths of the earth, known as hell, Hades, the graves were open. Why? Because anything life touches brings life. And many of the bodies of the saints, that means those who died that were following Jesus, okay, those who died that were following Jesus during Jesus' time, who had fallen asleep, were raised, and coming out of the graves, come on now, after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Again, why? Because those who were believed, accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who died during Jesus' ministry time here on the earth, when Jesus rose from the dead, they rose with him. And they lived their lives back with their families again as witnesses of the resurrection from death to life. Because God's not dead. He's alive. In Leviticus 23, Jesus came to fulfill the feast of the Lord. Leviticus 23. And in these feasts of the Lord, again, these are the feasts of the Lord that are God's sequences of visitation. They would be celebrated in the Old Testament, but they'd be fulfilled in the New. They're visitations, they're warning, they're time sequences. And each one has a specific meaning. And in verse 1, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest. A holy convocation you shall do, no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all of your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord. Holy convocations which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. We have celebrated the Passover. It was actually Monday of this last week. You know, now people are celebrating Good Friday because they're calling it actually celebrating the death of Jesus. But we celebrated Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So the day that Jesus died was considered, we call the Passover, the day he died, because he became the sacrifice of all mankind. He became the true Lamb, the Lamb of God. The blood was shed for all men. The next day, that day he descended into hell, it's called the Feast of Unleavened, because leaven means evil. So he went to hell and defeated evil. It's known as the Unleavened Bread or the Feast to the Lord. And 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall come a holy convocation and shall do no customary work on it. But you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of first fruits of your harvest to the priest. This is what actually Resurrection Day is known as, first fruits. Why? Because Jesus is the first fruit of the dead. So today we celebrate first fruits. It's really not Easter. Easter is a pagan day, but they call it Easter. It comes from the word Esther, but it's just a goddess, and we're not going to get into all that. But we do have it on our eternallibrary.org, and it's called Pagan Holiday. Check it out. Paganism. Thank you. It's called paganism. Many of these pagan rituals came into effect because Constantine, when he had a vision of a cross, and he was a Roman soldier, and they conquered. And when they conquered in that area of Israel and so forth, and all that area in the Middle East, he had a vision. And so he gathered all of the cardinal or bishops, religious leaders, because they wanted to put a Bible together. And everyone had their own sects, all their own sections and interpretations, and they put it all together. So they began to remove certain books, like the book of Enoch, and many other books were removed. And they put together this certain book that was approved by all the 12 bishops. And it's amazing because this meeting that took place was in Turkey, which is very possible where the Antichrist may come from. So I just find that quite interesting. But anyways, so this is where we had change of books. Books were brought in, books were removed. Then we had special days. Monday was known as Moon Day and so forth. But even though we live in this realm and we abide by certain rules of this realm, we don't worship their gods. Amen. We only worship the life giver. Because there's only one who created all things. There's only one life God. Everything else is foolish. We just went to this event over the weekend, and there was a bunch of tree huggers there, and all kinds of new age gurus and people. They're trying to do their yoga out on the street, you know, all of this stuff they were doing out there, and they were having a form of godliness. And you can sense that they were so sincere, and they were singing these weird songs. I'm thinking, oh my God, you know. And that woman's trying to pass off Buddha stuff, and I'm like, and then there was this one guy, and he was came to our booth, and he's saying all of this stuff. And he's asking all these questions. I said, I got a question for you. And he said, what? I said, do you know Jesus? He says, I know Jesus better than anyone else, and this and that and that. And he said, but there's things that I got to tell you about him. I said, what? He says, I didn't like this, and I don't like this, and I said, then you don't know him. I said, so you're trying to tell God what he ought to do? Well, yeah, this, that, whatever. He says, yeah, this, he talked about wisdom. Wisdom, and so I said, well, that's stupid. He says, you calling me stupid? I said, that's stupid. That ain't the wisdom from God. Anyways, he ended up walking away. I was tired of his presence anyways. It wasn't the presence of my father claiming to know Jesus. That wasn't it, man. That was an evil presence, dumb presence. Hallelujah. So today we celebrate First Fruits. Amen? First Fruits. It's not Easter. We are not looking for eggs. This is not Fertility Day. That's what the paganism worship. Hello? Romans 1. It's Resurrection Day. Romans chapter 1. God's not dead. He is alive. Verse 18. Would you read it with me, please? Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? So there's no excuse, is there? Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were what? Darkened. So they became darkened, even though his attributes are truly seen. I mean, that's what you need to do is step outside, you know. There you got all these atheists that hate God, you know. I heard a saying, how can you hate something that you say is not there? Amen? I hate God. How do you hate something that's not there? That doesn't exist, obviously, because we came from God, right? But they just choose. They make a choice not to believe, even though within them they're tormented. See, there are many people who say God is dead. The reason why they do the things that are displeasing to God is because they're convinced God's dead. They may say, oh, I believe, but true reality is they believe God's dead. They don't believe that they can have a relationship with God. They don't believe they can hear God. They don't believe that they can get in God's presence. They don't believe that God can heal them. They don't believe that God can visit them. See, but when you live in his presence and in that life, nothing's impossible. In fact, all things are possible. So there's an area where we say, I surrender. I trust. Why? Because you're living in his presence. Again, you're living a life because you have this new life. So it's not something that's turned on and turned off. It's consistent. This is the new life. You know? In other words, if you were put on underwater, you would be dependent on your air tank. You are dependent on that air that's in that tank to survive. Well, we are dependent on his presence to survive. Because this is not our home. This is temporary. But so many times, the enemy tries to erase everything. And that's all he wants is our focus to be on what is in front of us right here, right now. And what we need to do, what we're in, and survival mode, and all this other stuff. And it's about me. Let me tell you, what you do for yourself dies with you. What you do for others continues. And what you may think you're doing for others, you're actually doing for yourself. I've heard of testimony of people getting before the Lord. And the Lord rebuked them. And they said, well, Lord, I did this for you. I did that for you. And they said, and the Lord said, no, you did it for yourself. Even though you preached for me, you still did it for you. See, there's a difference. And I don't want to be one that stands before him and hear him say, you did it for you. Because what you do for yourself dies with you. What you do for him to expand the kingdom continues. Amen? Praise God. Let's go a little further. John chapter 10. In verse 7, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Of the who? The sheep. I'm the door of the sheep. That means he's their shepherd. That means these are individuals that are living in his presence. They are dependent on his direction, his counsel, his correction. They are not men seekers. They're God seekers. Does everybody get it? Our dependence is not on man or our abilities and talents. It's on his presence. He said, I am the door to the sheep, and whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. See, when you are in his presence, when you are living in life, you no longer obey the voice of the stranger. You don't hear him. He may come, but the representation of the word don't hear them says you don't obey them. Why? Because you're living in the life, in the presence. I always look at like some bubble. You're living in this bubble of presence of God. You know, wherever you go, you're in it. Nothing can penetrate. Doesn't matter. Why? Because you're constantly fulfilled. Things aren't going right on the outside. It don't matter. It's going right on the inside. It's different. And you know that when you make a wrong direction, you're still in the presence. You can stop. And you know what? You don't have to fix it. He does. Oh, hallelujah. But the sheep don't hear them. I am the door, verse 9. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life. Life. And that they may have it more abundantly. Well, how are you going to have life and have more abundantly? But to live in life. So this is no longer an area of, well, it's just about going to church. No, this is an everyday life. It's an everyday fellowship. It's an everyday acknowledgement. It's life. Amen? Verse 10, the thief does not come to except to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. In verse 25, and Jesus said to them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. Come on. You don't believe. You don't follow. But we do believe. No, you don't believe. Because if you believed, you'd be in my presence all the time. Your desire was to be in my presence if you believe. But you don't believe. He said, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. Only in my presence are you going to hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give them what? Eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Now, so many people use this. Well, the Lord says, no one's going to snatch me out of my hand. Well, you need to get in his hand first. Amen? You need to get in his hand first. Again, many people are still walking next to the presence of God. They're not in his hand. An enemy snatches them real quick and real easy because they're not in his presence. They can't penetrate his presence. In his presence is life, and that's where you and I must constantly be, is in his presence and in his life. You mean a believer can live that way every single day? It's when we step out of his presence that the enemy misleads us again. He can draw you right out of the presence of God. See, no man can snatch you out of the presence of God, but the enemy can sway you out. It's your free will to walk out of God's presence. It's your free will that he never will interfere with. It's our free will. Our free will. Every day we have a choice. Every morning we wake up either to walk in God's presence or walk in our own. And if you're walking in your own, you're not walking in God's presence and you're walking in another presence. Believe me, another presence will come up and start to mislead, start to torment, start to bring fear. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Steals our health, our finances, our family, and everything else. Why? Because you're not in God's presence. But I can't. No. Then you're trusting in you and not God. Well, I trust that God. No, you don't. God never interrupts himself. He always sets a divine order. And when you're out of divine order, you're out of God's presence. That's the fruit of it. Does everybody understand? That's the fruit of it. Then we look for fulfillment. And we work, and look for fulfillment and never get in God's presence. And that's all we're doing is working for nothing. Because it has no account of anything to the Father. Nothing. Not one thing will be credited for anything that we've done. Why? Because we did it for ourselves. Oh, I do it for my wife and my children. It don't count for nothing. Doesn't count for nothing. Only counts. That's why the Bible says labor unto the Lord. Our focus and function is expanding the kingdom of God. It says seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all things will be added to you. Not go out and get all the things and then seek the kingdom of God. It's opposite. That's not divine order. Why? Because no divine presence. Walking next to it. Hi. And the Lord's going, when are you going to come in? Oh, wait a minute. I got too much work to do. I got too much this. I'm too busy. One day we'll find it's too late. Everybody okay? Praise be to God. Romans 5. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Oh, hallelujah. Romans 5. This is not fictional. This is not a story. You know, see, the enemy is downplayed and so much that this is, it's just a story. Oh, the story of Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. People dress up. They wear all their funny hats on Sunday. It's a hat war. I remember going to churches and having the duck. Whoa, did you see that one? Somebody turn around high. Whoa, these big ass man, you know. People come and show off everything they got. Look what Jesus blessed me with. Right, where's his presence? Is he going to allow you in his presence with that hat? Sure he will. He's no respecter of hat. Praise God. In fact, he wears one himself. It's called a crown. Romans 5, verse 6. Oh, somewhere around there. Let me see. Yeah, that looks good. Hallelujah. Verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having none been justified by his blood, now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And where is his life? It's in his presence. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as through one man's sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who was a type of Jesus whom would come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. Now, grace is God's plan. That was the gift. Amen? So Jesus came into the world and said, listen, here's my gift. I got a plan. Now, if you're willing to follow this plan, this gift will get you out of here. It'll get you in my presence. You'll have life. But you got to follow my plan. This is the gift. It, you know, what happens when somebody gives you a gift card? Well, it doesn't do anything until it's what? Activated or used. Why? Because there's a plan to that gift card, isn't it? It's to purchase something. Well, see, we were given the purchase price of the gift, and that gift, that purchase price, was that Jesus was able to now access me and you and bring us the plan through the blood, through his death. But we have a choice of either using the plan or not. That's our choice. That's why many people drift away. That's why they still walk outside of God's presence, because they're not using the gift called grace. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. In other words, this was free. It was a free plan. You and I didn't have to conjure it up. We didn't have to study it out. We just have to accept that plan and utilize it to get the heck out of here, to have dominion over powers of darkness, to not be misled, to walk in his presence, to walk in new life. That gift. For verse 17, for by one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even through one man's righteousness, the act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as for by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many were made righteous. Now righteousness comes by act of righteousness. Righteousness is just not, it's not stagnant. It says that Abraham believed God and obeyed him, and it was accounted to him as what? Righteousness. Because he was cooperating with God's plan. Cooperating with God's plan promotes righteousness. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So then that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, hallelujah. God's not dead. 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the what? First fruits. Why? Fulfilling the feast of first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, and by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made what? Alive, because God's not dead, is he? He is the life giver. Does everybody understand that? But to each one his own order. First, Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, those who are in Christ, it is coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is what? Death. Go to verse 40. There are celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man, Adam, who was Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. In other words, a life-giving presence. Why? Because it's in his presence where life is. That's why the enemy likes to fool with people. That's why the Bible says, forsake not to assemble. Why? Because we come together to maintain his presence. Maintain his presence. Maintain his presence. Why? Because in his presence is life. In his presence is life. So as we continue to walk in life, We're not fighting for our life. The enemy is being battled by the Lord. It's when we walk out of God's presence that we have this battle all the time. Amen? It's not that we don't battle, but we battle from his presence. Amen? Is everybody okay? Because he's a life-giving spirit. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. God's not dead. In verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. In other words, those who are outside of God's presence in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. And where is the life of God? In his presence. See, in his, this is no longer some kind of religious ritual or act. It's living in his life. This is a life. New life, living a life, no longer living a life of the world, proclaiming to try to bring God into your life. Don't work that way. He says, come into my life. Have been alienated from the life of God, the presence of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, thinking that they're okay. Oh, I'm all right. I don't need anything. I'm cool. Because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. He said, but you've not learned Christ. You've not known God's presence. If indeed you have heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus that you put off concerning your former conduct, the way you live, the way you think, it's a whole new life. It's a new way of thinking. It's a new way of breathing. It's a new life. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts and be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? Colossians 3, verse 1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ. Well, the only way to be raised with Christ, the word says that we are a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. We are being raised in Christ because we're in his presence. We're maintaining that risen. Does everybody? In other words, I was dead, now I'm alive. I was dead, now I'm alive. That's why the word says, come out from among them and don't touch things that are unclean. I was dead, now I'm alive. Why? Because when I was dead, I was living for myself. But see, there are those who are still believers living for themselves. Is everybody all right? If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, everyone say, Christ is my life. When he appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Where? In glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Don't lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in a knowledge according to the image of him who has created him. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. 1 John chapter 5. Again, we do not worship creation, we worship Creator. 1 John chapter 5. Oh, God's not dead. He's surely alive. 1 John 5 verse 18. Let's read it together. For we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Hello. Sin is the presence of evil. So whoever is born of God has a desire to live in God's presence. We have a desire to live in God's presence. See, this is how you maintain your born-again state of being. This is where people fall from the born-again state of being to a saved state. And from that saved state to a lost state, living outside of salvation's truth. Is everybody okay? I'm going to say that again. When you are born again in the Spirit, you must maintain that born-again state of being. And that born-again state of being is only maintained in God's presence. Other than that, you fall back into a saved state. From that state, you fall to a lost state, living outside of salvation's truth. That's outer darkness. You only maintain your new creation in Christ, and the born-again state of being is by being maintaining in his presence. You know, you judge yourself. You examine yourself. What's coming out of your mouth? What's your thoughts like? What are you touching? Are you living for you or living for him? Are your words lining up with what you're saying, how you're living? There's a lot of people like the yak, babble mouth, but they really don't live according to what they say. Amen? Verse 19. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. How does he keep himself? In God's presence. Hello. You know, 1 + 1 does equal 2. This is nothing difficult. But it's amazing how many people's heads are turned around. They're walking forward, but their face is on the back, proclaiming they know the Lord, and they don't. Verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So when the enemy pulls you out of God's presence, he manipulates you. He convinces you. He reminds you of all of your pains, your fears, your anxieties, your stresses, and your past. Only in God's presence are you able to overcome the thoughts of your past and live from the future. Verse 20, and we know the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life, because he is life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. You might as well just put, keep yourself from yourself. Now I got a lot more stuff to go through, but I'm going to go to one more scripture, Revelation 20. I think we got the message. Man, the price he paid to bring us his presence. My gosh, the price he paid to bring us his presence. You know, he is the word in his presence. You'll know the word. You'll know what he's saying. Revelation 20. Nice. Verse 11. Read it with me. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead and small and great standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. So here's a book of life. What are these people? These are the ones that are what? Living in God's presence. And the dead were judged according to their what? Works. They were judged according to their works. Let me tell you, there are believers who are dead. They're called the walking dead. They're not the zombies. They're the walking dead. Although some of them look like them. Anyways. And it says, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Now there are those who died without Christ. And the ones who died with Christ are called, they went asleep. Because you can't kill what's alive. But see, in this realm here, it's different. For you to maintain life, you must live in life. And that's living in his presence. To maintain that born again state of being is to live in his presence. I don't want to live in just a saved state. It's too close to outer courts. It's too close to a dead state. It's too close to a lost state. I want to live in a place where it's a born again state of being. And that's to live in his presence. See, you know yourself whether you're living for God or you're living for you. You know yourself the way your thoughts are. Are they thoughts according to the way God thinks in heaven? According to the areas of compassion for others, giving and others? And listen, you know whether you're living for you or him. Even though you say you're living for him when you're really not. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged each one according to his works. Verse 14. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the what? Into the lake of fire. But again, those who are saved are written in the book of life. Amen? But there's that place where there's that saved and there's a state of born again. That state of being born again. It's two different things. And I see too many believers that are out there in a saved state, not a born again state, because they're out of God's presence. And God's presence is right here saying, come on in, come on in, come on in. But the enemy's convincing them, no, you're all right. Come on, you got things to do. Come on, this. And always justifying, keeping that person away from being saturated in God's presence. That's the price he paid for me and you. Why? Because he's resurrection. He is the life giver. He takes what is dead and brings life. He takes what's hurt and heals. He takes what's sick, restores. He takes anything that he touches, makes it brand new. So when we come together, we should be getting brand new every time. Every time. Our fulfillment is in him. The life giver and the life. Truly the resurrection of life. Amen. Why? Because God's not dead. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We're honored and blessed. I pray the blood of Jesus on every seed, that it would grow and bear fruit and penetrate each and every one of us. That we begin to live a life in life, a life of Christ, a life in your presence, a life of truth, a life of freedom. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And a life that expands your kingdom and not our own. Not a selfish life. You are the life giver. And we are also to be a life giving. So Lord, we give our life to serve you for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.